Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to program author Neil McKee, and he is the author of My University of the World, Adventures of an International Film and Media Maker. Neil's a creative nonfiction writer, presently concentrating on his travel memoir. His first book won 3 awards and got a lot of 5-star reviews. But before I bring in today's guest, a quick reminder, the selected interviews are available at our website, as well as on major platforms like Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many more. Neil, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Well, tell us a little bit about this book, please.
Yeah, it's a career and travel memoir about an entertaining journey through the developing world from 1970 to 2012. And it really starts when I was a one-man film crew, riding buses, trains in India and Africa, visiting volunteer teachers from Canada. They were doing various jobs as engineers, you know, teachers, doctors, agriculturists, foresters, and I filmed them, their lives, their entertainment, what their job was like, their thoughts on everything. That job morphed into a much, probably more professional and interesting job doing work for Canada's International Development Research Center. And that center gave grants directly to developing country researchers. Again, a plethora of subjects I covered in some award-winning films. Thereafter, I became more of a media producer and a director of productions, working for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund in Bangladesh, and later in Africa. That was a very inspiring time in my life. I moved on. I always looked for the best opportunity to be a creator, innovator, and I moved on to Johns Hopkins University, working out of Baltimore and Moscow for 3 years, Moscow, Russia. Very interesting experiences at that time. And finally, I ended up as a director of a big, expensive project working in Washington, D.C. with 140 staff, trying to spend practically a lot of money in a very short time.
Now, who did you write your book for specifically? Who's your target audience here?
I think it's for anybody who's really interested in world affairs and international development. Also, readers who are interested in media and film production, especially its role in social change, social and I say behavior change. I wrote it also for young people thinking about their career choices and older people interested, probably mid-level, mid-age people wanting to someday capture their own stories, their own career stories. Because the way I wrote it, I give a lot of clues on how to do it.
So could you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that you would say runs throughout your book?
I'd say its efforts in international development do make a difference and have made a difference in the last 50 years. And I was involved for a good chunk of that. Throughout this book, I really reflect on what the long-term impact of my projects, the project I documented, and also the media creations that I dreamed up. I tracked down a lot of the volunteers I filmed in the 70s and got in touch with them, and I find they continued to either contribute a lot to world development or to Canadian and American society. I say American because I'm living in New Mexico, and there's about 2,000 Peace Corps in this state alone who I am in touch with. In researching my book, I looked up the long-term impact of the research projects I filmed, and I found many with positive results. Some were less, but that's the way of research. Some research works out, some doesn't, but you always learn lessons from it. One film I made was The Mysterious Milkfish. It's a film I made on improving aquaculture in the Philippines, making a huge difference in malnutrition in that country. Another couple of films I made on forestry, Trees of Hope and Trees of Plenty, in the Sahel of Africa, West Africa, very dry area. When I researched the outcome of those projects, I found that there was a whole region of the West Africa, which was regreened because of this kind of work we did with IDRC, International Development Research Center of Canada. And finally, I did one called Prescription for Health.
So if you were asked to compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
You know, I read a lot of memoirs while writing my book, and I found the one that really tickled me was Sometimes Brilliant by Larry Brilliant, key player in the eradication of smallpox in Asia. When I worked with UNICEF in Bangladesh, I was involved in the same kind of program for the expanded immunization program. And I met the girl, the last case of smallpox in Asia, a young lady by the name of Rahima Banu.
So how did you get into this line of work?
My first job out of university was as a Canadian volunteer teacher in a small town in Sabah, Malaysia, on Borneo Island in Southeast Asia. That was during 1968-70. My housemate was a great American Peace Corps guy who was doing a 16-millimeter film for Peace Corps in Washington. And I asked him, and he allowed me to borrow his 16-millimeter camera to make a film for my own agency, CUSO Canada. Surprisingly, they took me up on the proposal. I had very little experience in filmmaking. I exaggerated a bit, and they took a chance on me.
Now, you've done an incredible job compiling all of these details of your life and career. How did you do that with such detail?
Well, I had the benefit of having films. I found a lot of my old films in film archives, and I watched them again. I hadn't seen them for years, so a lot of details flooded back into my brain from watching those films. I also took a lot of photos, which are in libraries, which I reviewed. Also, when I was doing the films on research in Asia and Africa, I did detailed trip reports, and I put a lot of entertaining details in those reports, and I kept those trip reports so I could refer to them someday. I knew I wanted to write something about those days. And finally, I had a lot of letters from my wife and family, which really helped to jog my memory.
Now, you've included a lot of your personal life in this book. Why did you do that?
I thought the book would have a much wider appeal, like Sometimes Brilliant. If you read that book, it includes his personal life, his struggles, his marriage, all of that. I met my wife, Elizabeth, in Japan in 1970, an American woman who just had arrived to teach English in a Lutheran school. And we spent about a week together in the same hostel. And then on my way home from a Southeast Asia filming trip in 1971, I stopped off in Japan, and we sort of got engaged. You know, I said, come to Africa with me on my next filming trip. And she said, oh, sure, I'll marry you. So I said, okay, that sounds good too. So we had spent a couple of weeks together in total, but we wrote a lot of letters, which I mentioned that I had, and she kept and I kept.
So which film or media project you created do you think was most successful?
I think really the MENA Communication Initiative. Just shortly after I joined UNICEF in 1990, they sent me to a conference on animated film for development in Prague, Czechoslovakia. And the executive director of UNICEF, a very big man, very important man, James Grant, introduced me to Bill Hanna of Hanna-Barbera Hollywood, the creator of Yogi Bear and a lot of other cartoons. And that really inspired me, and I dreamed up this project on a young 9-year-old girl, heroine, who's a champion for girls' rights to education, healthcare, equal nutrition for girls, and protection from bullying, all the child rights. I put together this wonderful team of researchers, communicators, and artists in South Asia. And that project ran for about 25 years, radio, television, video distribution, comic books. Today, I get messages on my YouTube channel every week from young men and women who were influenced by my Mina stories.
So what makes your book relevant today?
My book is a hopeful testament to all those who have worked on international development projects over the last 50 to 60 years. It contains many lessons learned which are still relevant today. Many problems are there to solve, but literacy levels, health problems, a lot of statistics have changed, especially for women and empowering women in developing country. And that makes the big difference.
Have you had any feedback yet from readers?
Yes, my University of the World, I included 6 pre-publication reviews in the book itself, and I've had quite a few 4- and 5-star reviews on Amazon and Goodreads. And these people, some were from international development backgrounds, but some were people who just love stories and young women, housewives. So it really includes a wide range of people that seem to be picking it up and reading it.
So what part of your book would you say you personally like best?
That's a very difficult question for an author to answer. The work should be taken as a whole, I feel. As I am writing my memoirs, I have 4 so far, I edit out anything that seems to drag or seems superfluous. I do a lot of revisions and then pass it to my editor, who has many creative suggestions, some changes. Then it's back to me, and I probably do 50 to 70 drafts, between the two of us at least, 50 to 70 drafts come before I send it to the book designers.
So in your opinion, who should buy your book?
I think my target readership is really people who are interested in international development, film and media production, and especially its role in social and behavior change. Also, young people thinking about career choices or older people interested in learning how to go about writing about their own career, which they may want to do someday. Also, those just interested in exotic travel in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Probably these people are not going to repeat the routes I went over, too rough and tumble, but at least it puts them there. In fact, some have said in reviews, I felt I was there as I was reading your book. I don't need to travel there.
Do you have a website?
Yes. You can see my University of the World and 3 other creative nonfiction memoirs I have written on neilmckeeauthor.com. My name is spelled NEILLMCKEE, Neil McKee. author.com. You'll see summaries of the books there, my awards, places to buy around the world, reviews, and blogs, and some written interviews.
Well, it's been just great. Our guest today has been Neil McKee, and he is the author of My University of the World, Adventures of an International Film and Media Maker. Neil, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Go out there, buy the book today, and please share this interview with your friends so that they, too, have the opportunity to discover our guests and their work. The Author Show can be accessed at any time at theauthorshow.com, and whether you're an author who would like to be featured or a reader in search of new books to read, The Author Show is a great place to start. Check us daily as we continue to introduce wonderful authors of very interesting books on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.